KNX Business Hour. Business Hour with Frank Motek on KNX 1070 News Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the KNX Business Hour, number one for your business and consumer news right after the closing bell on Wall Street. In a wild session for both the oil and stock markets, the Dow managed a closing gain of nearly 82 points. Back to 11,229, NASDAQ up nearly 23 points to 2258, and the S&P 500 up nearly 9 to 1253. The yield on the 10-year note now 3.81%. Mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac play a vital role in the mortgage market, one that has grown dramatically over the past year after the subprime mortgage market's collapse. The companies issued about three-quarters of all new mortgage-backed securities in the second quarter of 2008, up from 40% in 2006. Joining us live now is the former president of the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank. President William Poole has joined us. He retired from that position just earlier this year. Mr. Poole, thank you very much for being with us here. And I understand that your comments impacted the market early on. Give us your impressions of what's going on at Fannie and Freddie right now.
Well, Frank, good to be with you. I don't know in huge detail. Obviously, there's a great deal of uncertainty about the situation in these firms. It's been known for a while that they've been under a lot of pressure. Capital has eroded because of losses on their mortgage portfolio, and so they are shy on capital. On the market value basis, or fair value basis, Freddie Mac reported data at the end of March indicating that it had a negative shareholder equity of $5.2 billion. As a consequence of the accumulated losses, and I'm guessing that with continuing losses, very likely, and I don't think my view is abnormal or alone here, that Fannie Mae is going to be in the same negative capital position on a fair value basis in a matter of months.
So do you think they're both insolvent?
Let's be careful about the terms here. I believe that they are that Freddie Mac, by its own accounts, is technically insolvent on a fair value basis. And I believe that Fannie Mae is going to end up there as well. And what that means is simply that the value of assets is less than the value of liabilities. As long as they can continue to meet their obligations, that they don't default, they are therefore not insolvent. And the issue here is that they are able to meet their obligations because the market has confidence that in extremis, the federal government will bail them out, and therefore they can continue to issue debt, as you and I could indefinitely if we had the backing of the United States government as well.
We're speaking live with William Poole, who recently retired as the president of the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank president. He now is also a senior economic advisor at Merck Investments and also a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Mr. Poole, let me ask you this. Your comments were spotlighted today on Capitol Hill in very high-level testimony. Treasury Secretary Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke sought to calm investor jitters about the financial health of Fannie and Freddie, which you had commented on earlier in the day. According to Paulson, they're working through this challenging period. The regulator has made clear that they are adequately capitalized. Asked whether such companies could pose a risk to the U.S. financial system, Paulson replied, in today's world, it's not helpful to speculate about any financial institution and systemic risk. So right now, this is something that's being followed very, very closely. What, if any, congressional intervention or what bailout talk do you think is appropriate here under the circumstances?
Well, let me point out that I first raised the issue about the thin capitalization of these firms 5 years ago. And in a series of speeches, I talked about the dangers. I said the probability of a blow-up was small, but it was important, given their thin capitalization, to deal with the situation sooner rather than later. Nothing, in fact, was done, and so we are now coming up against the hard reality that when you don't have a substantial capital cushion, relatively small losses can put you in dire circumstances. I understand the situation faced by federal officials, Federal Reserve officials as well, of course, and they do have to be extremely careful. But if I were not talking about this issue, somebody else would be. I happen to be the current messenger, perhaps because I had raised, rung the alarm bell some years ago, and that's why I'm in the news.
All right, and we see Freddie Mac's spokesperson said in an email today that the company continues to hold a surplus above its regulatory requirement that will enable it to continue to support the nation's housing markets. Fannie Mae managing, in their words, our business and maintaining a capital position that will allow us to fulfill our congressionally chartered mission now and in the future. That also, according to their spokesman. As far as the overall economy is concerned, while we have you on the line, what's your assessment of things right now and where things are going?
Let me just make one comment briefly on the earlier topic here. Of course, the firms are interested in restoring, maintaining investor confidence. They are subject to regulatory requirements using GAAP accounting rules, generally accepted accounting principles, but they also report on a fair value or market value basis. And I was relying on those market value judgments without getting into accounting arcana. I think that the fair value statements deserve a great deal of attention. It's very important that these firms be supported, that they not fail. I have been pushing for that for a good long time. We need congressional action to set the matter straight and to make clear the federal government's responsibility here.
All right. Any thoughts about the overall economy here before we let you off the hook?
Sure. The overall economy is obviously struggling, not only because of the housing situation, and indeed not primarily because of the housing situation today. It's struggling because of the energy price increases that have severely impacted most American families, myself included, and there are very large adjustments that the country is going to have to make because of the increase in the price of energy. So those adjustments will take place over time, as they do relatively efficiently in a market economy, but it is painful. So what has happened is that these energy price increases have made certain capital in the United States uneconomic to operate. And a clear example is in the airline industry, where the airlines have been grounding their less efficient aircraft and slashing capacity because it's not economic to operate that capital anymore. The auto industry has idled its assembly plants for light trucks and SUVs. That capital can't be operated anymore. They can't recover the cost in the prices they can charge for those vehicles. So some of the U.S. capital stock has been degraded as a consequence of this increase in energy prices. In time, we will work through it, but it is a painful adjustment while it's underway. It's very hard to know how all this is going to get sorted out, because at the same time that we have these strains that tend to depress activity and depress employment, the Federal Reserve has followed a very expansionary monetary policy that I believe raises significant longer-term inflation risks for all of us.
With us live now, Art Hogan with Jefferies & Company, the chief market analyst, and just got off the phone with William Poole, who made some comments about Fannie and Freddie early on. Those stocks have certainly taken a tumble. Art, give us your view of the market right now.
You know, it's interesting. I think you hit on the major topics right there. If we had two drivers today in this market, it was our concern about the financials, and Fannie and Freddie were certainly high on our list, but Lehman also was a roller coaster ride again today. So that's been a two-day nightmare for all three of those. And, you know, some mixed commentary coming out of a former Fed governor, and as you mentioned, in Poole, but also, you know, from testimony on Capitol Hill today as things were trading, talking about government backing both of these organizations up. So it's clearly a mixed message, and what value there is for the equity holder is certainly going to be a question mark that we have for quite some time. And also remember, all these financials report next week. You add to that the other fear that we have in this marketplace, and that's high energy prices. We were down as low as, you know, call it 137 in change. We closed at 141.35 with a $5 spike, you know, at the last couple of minutes of the open order outcry trading, for no other reason than some concerns about what's going on with Israel and Iran, and certainly what's going on in Nigeria. So, you know, there's a lot of noise around the price of oil, and that completely helped us erase triple-digit gains in the Dow in the late trading this afternoon.
All right, what are your thoughts about Fannie and Freddie? Both stocks have taken huge hits over the past couple of days.
Well, I would tell you this. If you wanted to paint a worst-case scenario, you could look at the entire exposure they have, at least those loans that they've guaranteed, and look at what money they have behind that to cover that, and they're at about 45 basis points in terms of coverage. But I would also offer up that Fannie and Freddie are the most conservative of the lenders. They're lending 15- and 30-year fixed-rate mortgages to middle America that don't take out mortgages to flip their houses. They take out the mortgages to live in their houses. So I would say of the mortgages in the country right now, and these two companies control about half, they probably have the safest. So the worst-case scenario that the market's trying to price in probably doesn't come to eventuality, but it's certainly a question mark. And this is one that we debate, time in and time again.
Give us your view of what's going on now with the price of oil. Certainly have any impact on all industries. And in fact, we'll be talking to the spokesman for the Air Transport Association in just a moment. They're launching a campaign to stop oil speculation. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. But certainly the airlines are getting hammered, and oil prices stubbornly at these levels impacting the whole economy.
Yeah, I think everyone would like to do whatever it takes and get that silver bullet to get energy back at a rational price. But maybe we're going to have to get used to the prices we're looking at as being rational. If nobody wants to see $142 oil, it cuts into corporate profits, certainly cuts into consumer spending. It certainly makes it very difficult to make any money as an airline or any sort of transport business. It affects just about everybody. It's hard to say how much of the price right now is a speculative bid or speculative driven. I could tell you this, a fear of disruption of supply is a large part of the price today. So if we're concerned about what's happening in Iran and Israel and what's happening in Nigeria, that has nothing to do with supply and demand. That's a fear of disruption of supply, and none of that has come to fruition yet. So, I think there hasn't been a supply shock, there hasn't been a demand shock, and yet we've gone from basically $95 to $145 in a period of about six trading weeks.
Given this volatile stock market, oil market, the financial sector shaky right now, where are you putting your money right now? Are you going to be raising alpacas, or give us some thoughts about what's going on here?
A couple of things. First of all, the energy complex doesn't necessarily depend on $140 oil, especially those companies that sort of drill for and explore and produce natural gas. We've got a lot of great domestic plays in the Haynesville Shale, the Utica Shale. There's a lot of things we're excited about on that front. We think the not having that geopolitical bid in the price of natural gas certainly helps. And it's it's something that will continue to be exciting for us. Also in software, I think we're going to continue to see consolidation in that space. So I think we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater on quite a few occasions in the software space. And you're going to see some companies that truly have targets on their back. They've just gotten too darn cheap, and we'll become attractive consolidation candidates as the summer wears on here.
We got a confirmed bear market here. Or what's your view of where things will be by the end of the year?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about bear markets, whether it's confirmed or not, or recessions, whether confirmed or not. It's like the fellow on the Supreme Court once said, I don't know what pornography is, but I know when I see it. Well, I don't know what a bear market is, but I certainly know when I see it, and that's what's going on right now. Nobody wants to buy any of these names, and we've gotten to a point where no one wants to really short these names because there's been so much carnage done. So you get a lot of apathy out there. When the market moves in a direction, it gets there quickly and violently. There's a real lack of participation on the way up and on the way down, and clearly that's what we see as we try to form a bottom in markets. The problem is if you look at the last 11 bear markets we've had, 20% was just the official ringing of the bell. The average was down about 30%. So clearly we have, if history repeats itself, we do have some more downside to be wary of.
A new effort spearheaded by the airline industry to call for increased regulation to stop oil speculation. In fact, they've launched a campaign called Stop Oil Speculation Now. Closing the Enron loophole, the London loophole, and the list goes on among the priorities of this effort. With us now is David Castlevetter, the vice president of the Air Transport Association, the trade organization for the major passenger airlines and cargo airlines. Mr. Castlevetter, thanks for being with us. So we see an email going out signed by all of the major airline CEOs encouraging people to get behind this effort. It's being sent to frequent flyer members and various airlines. Tell us what's going on here.
I think as everyone realizes, the rising price of fuel oil is having a catastrophic effect on not just the aviation industry, but the American economy. Each of us in our everyday lives are feeling the pinch associated with higher airfares, higher fuel prices at the pump, our grocery prices increasing, our home heating oil and other energy-related costs rising significantly. We have just seen a spiral increase in these prices. The U.S. aviation industry will pay $20 billion more in fuel this year than last year. That same fuel bill in the year 2000 was $16.8 billion. It's just spiraling out of control, and we and many experts believe that $30 to $60 of that cost per barrel is being driven by speculators who are driving the cost of fuel oil up by trading paper contracts, not end users of the fuel. It's an artificial inflation of the price, and we have to stop it. We have to stop it now. We can't allow it to go any further. So we've taken it upon ourselves as an industry to go in and attract other industries to support a coalition that will ask Congress to do something about it and do it before they recess for the summer. We have sent and will continue to send tens of millions of emails to airline frequent flyers, as well as hundreds of thousands of emails to airline employees asking them to go to StopOilSpeculationNow.com and to write their congressperson and to recommend to five or six of their friends to write Congress, because we have to stop this madness and begin the process of reversing the trend of the rising fuel prices.
How much longer can these airlines hold out, given the fuel prices at the current levels? In fact, we've been reporting that U.S. Airways are pulling off their in-flight entertainment systems to save money on fuel, just as 500 pounds.
You know, many people say how long and will the bubble burst and you know, where's the breaking point? And the best way to address it is, since December of 2007, less than a year ago, nine airlines have gone out of business. They've closed their doors, ceased operations. Two are reorganizing in the bankruptcy court process as we speak. If we don't see a change, the carriers will not be able to endure this much longer. You're going to see liquidation. You're going to see Chapter 11 reorganization, and you're going to see more downsizing. We've already announced close to 30,000 job losses. We've already announced 100 airports that had service in 2007 that do not have it today or will not have it by the end of the year. We're going to have a $7 to $13 billion loss for the industry this year. The worst loss in aviation history was in 2002, when we lost $11 billion. We are at a breaking point. We are going to see changes that are painful. We're going to continue to see airlines look for every opportunity to cut their costs and find new revenue streams. You just mentioned, you know, paying reducing weight on board the airplane by taking the in-flight entertainment systems off. The airlines have taken magazines off their airplanes. They've reduced the number of pillows and blankets. They serve with styrofoam instead of plastic, paper bags instead of plastic containers. You know, they're taxiing out to runways on one engine. They're charging you now for the premium seat on board the airplane. You're paying to make a telephone reservation. You're paying for a beverage on board the flight. You're paying to check your bag. All actions carriers are taking that they otherwise would not want to take, but they're doing this as a matter of survival.
Financial sector under pressure today, especially shares of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government-sponsored mortgage enterprises. Today, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke sought to calm investor jitters about the financial health of Fannie and Freddie. They're working through this challenging period. Paulson told lawmakers the regulator has made it clear that they are adequately capitalized. Joining us now is Orange County Republican Congressman John Campbell, a member of the House Financial Services Committee, which heard from the Fed Chairman and Treasury Secretary today on some very serious issues. Congressman, thanks for being with us, and tell us what you took away from that hearing today.
Well, I think they both were in sync. I don't think there was a single area of disagreement between the two of them. Their real message, I think, today was that there needs to be some significant regulatory reform, major regulatory reform, to deal with the financial situations like we're having now, to prevent them from getting to this kind of stage in the future. But they understand that that kind of action needs to be carefully done, will take some time in Congress, and it may take a little while for that to happen. So I think then the secondary message was that the SEC and the Fed and the Treasury Department are working together to try and make this current credit crisis and financial crisis that we have to try and control it as best they can. But in the future, they believe there's some things we could do that would prevent us getting to a situation where we're at, like the Bear Stearns situation or any future Bear Stearns as it may crop up.
And today, of course, a lot of people are discussing what's going on with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government-sponsored enterprises, the mortgage giants. The former St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank president said in an interview today that Fannie and Freddie are insolvent, in his view, and may need a government bailout. Does this concern you, and what's your view of the current situation there?
Yeah, it does concern me. And interestingly, someone else asked that question specifically. Well, I asked a question about Fannie and Freddie specifically of the Treasury Secretary, and I said if there were a problem with Fannie and Freddie, if they got into a capital crunch, do you have the ability, the resource, the understanding to be able to make sure that there's not systemic damage, that it doesn't damage things beyond Fannie and Freddie? And they basically didn't answer that question. They pretty much, I think, said that they probably did, but that they weren't going to speculate as to the condition of any particular entities out there. Secretary Paulson began his testimony by saying that he felt that the reserves, the capital requirements of Fannie and Freddie were adequate.
Testimony on Capitol Hill today from the Treasury Secretary and Fed Chairman. They both urged lawmakers to give regulators additional power so the government can be ready for the next financial crisis. Bernanke defending the Fed's rescue of Bear Stearns, but said it was not something he wanted to do again. They also talked about the financial condition of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Joining us now, Congressman Brad Sherman, Democrat, representing Southern California. Congressman, give us your impressions. You're a member of the House Financial Services Committee. You heard directly from the Fed Chairman and the Treasury Secretary today. Tell us what you heard at today's hearing about the financial solvency of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
This is one of the few things that the two witnesses disagreed on. The Secretary of the Treasury said that Fannie and Freddie were adequately capitalized, and Bernanke said they should raise more money. Clearly, it's in the interest of taxpayers that these two entities issue more stock. Of course, they're reluctant to sell it at what the market will pay for it now, but that would provide more of a cushion so that we don't have another Bear Stearns situation where we're told that the Main Street, or should I say Victory Boulevard, has to bail out Wall Street.
What if these government-sponsored enterprises do become insolvent and there has to be a government bailout? What impact do you think that will have?
Well, first, whatever bailout costs the taxpayers money. Second, if Fannie and Freddie are not around, then many people are going to be paying a quarter point more on their mortgages. Not people have mortgages today, but if you're looking for a new mortgage a year from now, that rate's going to be a quarter point higher, maybe half a point higher. And you can see this because if you're above the conforming loan limit, then Fannie and Freddie can't touch your mortgage, and even if you're a very qualified borrower. It used to be you paid a quarter point more. Heck, now you're paying a point more. And that's why it's so important to L.A. and this, that Fannie and Freddie be allowed after this year to continue to deal with mortgages of over $417,000 all the way up to $729,000.
Joining us now, Southern California Congressman Ed Royce, Republican, who's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. Congressman Royce had a chance to question the Treasury Secretary and the Fed Chairman today at the hearing. Congressman, give us your view of what's happening with the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, first of all.
Well, Frank, for a number of years, I've been arguing that Fannie and Freddie need a competent regulator, and we have a bill that we've finally been able to pass here which will create a more effective regulator for the GSEs, for Fannie and Freddie, before they deteriorate further. And one of the things that's necessary here is to get additional investment into those institutions. And also, it's very important that a regulator be able to adequately control their risk exposure by limiting the size of their portfolios. And so if we can do that, then as the Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke says, you know, he believes if the firms are adequately capitalized, we can get this thing stabilized. But it's very, very important this legislation gets through, and right now there's one thing holding the legislation back.
And what is that one thing?
Well, currently the legislation's being held hostage by a proposal to bail out lenders and investors who incorrectly gambled on the mortgage industry. And that's a $300 billion bailout program through the Federal Housing Administration that some of the members put in as an amendment to this bill. It was put in on the House side and then later also on the Senate side. And that would be a serious mistake, because it could end up costing American taxpayers for the mistakes made by these lenders and speculators. And as a matter of fact, last month, the Congressional Budget Office here projected that banks will use the program to offload their highest risk loans to the taxpayer, and that 35% of all the loans refinanced through that might default on the federal on the FHA. So, you know, the GSE reform should be passed immediately, but it should be passed without that particular bailout provision in it, and we're trying to get that stripped out right now.
This is the KNX Business Hour.
Business Hour
with Frank Mota on KNX 1070 News Radio.